We're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This half hour, joining us live, Iowa's Secretary of State, Paul Pate. Paul Pate, welcome to the program.
It's great to be here.
We want to reach out to our listeners this half hour. If you'd like to join us with questions, 1-866-780-9100, rivertoriver at iowapublicradio.org. Our email, you can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. In fact, let's jump in because I know this is something that was announced just today. Elise in Pleasant Hill is one of our listeners also interested in this topic. Paul Pate on Facebook, what are you doing to protect our voting systems from foreign interference? And it turns out today you announced plans to strengthen Iowa's election cybersecurity.
That's a very important issue, and it's obviously been one of discussion now for well over a year. Iowa is one of the leading states when it comes to making sure that we are not only the first in the nation for caucuses, but we want to be the first in line for protecting it. What we announced was the federal government provided some HAVA money, Help America Vote Act, that we are utilizing towards cyber efforts. About 60% of that we're using to help the counties with what they need to do to make sure they're up to speed on training their staff, having the right monitors and firewalls in place. And the one thing people don't talk about much is the human factor. They always talk about, you know, do you have all the techie things? We're putting a significant amount of resources into the human component. We've done a lot of training opportunities, partnering with Homeland Security and various other partners, the FBI, the OCIO, which is our state IT people. This will help us put the protection out there. It's everything from firewalls to weekly vulnerability scans, all the measures we feel we can put in place and try to get most of those in even before the election this fall. So it's not a short run here. This is a long distance run. We'll keep doing it every day.
Are you concerned, Paul Pate, or what would you point to as the major players we're acting against or trying to stop from meddling in our election system? Can you point to states?
Yeah. Well, I would tell you that the first thing, it's not technical. It's propaganda. It's not new. The Cold War is not over. Whether it's the Russians or anyone else, they keep utilizing, whether it's social media or trying to play to the our own media in general, they try to create doubt in our minds on the legitimacy of our process. And if that happens, then people start questioning, you know, well, is that my governor? Is that my president? Is that my elected official? They win if that happens. That's what I think they're doing the most of. Now, the other things that are going on, we've always had to deal with bad actors, people trying to steal identifications for profit, and that's not new to most of our states. So we've always had to put protections in place, and we'll continue to do that. What they're probably doing and can focus on and will probably focus on is trying to cause disturbances. They're not going to change votes. In Iowa, we vote with paper ballots.
The voter roll is safe. The voting machines, the system is completely safe.
Most certainly. Again, the voting machines are just a counting device. They're not the ones casting the ballot. And we do post-election audits where we double-check the machines. Before that, the machines are checked and certified and sealed. A lot of safeguards on that front. The voter database has many, many backups. I don't go into every detail for obvious reasons. But again, it doesn't mean that they can't act out and try to cause disturbances. But even on that level, each of the counties have backup printout copies, hard copies. So we try to plan for every kind of approach they might take. And that's what I have confidence the county auditors and the poll workers, your neighbors, are doing their diligence.
Okay. Paul Pate, I actually interviewed the Linn County auditor, Joel Miller, earlier this week, and I want to have you react to a message he had for you with a criticism. I talked with him about the security of voter rolls and the security of voting machines in Iowa, and I asked him if he had a message for you about the security of our elections, and here's what he had to say.
I want to drive home that great that you're doing all this training and showing people what they should be doing, but you need to, unfortunately, tell the county auditors that there are minimum requirements to hook up to the voter registration system in this state and that you need to meet those requirements before this election. And that requires that you operate with a sense of urgency to get connected to that system and have your software and hardware monitored or prove that it is at a level that is equal to or better to what the state is offering, so that we know that at least our first line of defense is in place in time for the November 6th general election.
Linn County Auditor Joel Miller wants more urgency here. Answer that concern, Secretary of State Pate.
Well, I think we all want that, and so there's no argument on that front. That's why we've reached out to the county auditors aggressively in offering them free access to these types of monitoring screens and various firewall systems. In fact, we have dedicated staff through the OCIO who are visiting these smaller counties to assist them in doing just that. Out of the 99 counties, the majority of them have those filters and protections in place. And the few that don't are the ones we are putting our effort into right now to bring them into that process. And I'm pretty confident we'll have all of those. We've also done other things with the counties. That's why we do the two-factor protection, where it requires two types of approaches to secure to make sure they are who they say they are before they can access a system. We've required securing the human from all auditors' staff before they can access the system. We have put many, many of these measures in place, and there are more that we will look into and offer. But you've got to remember, not all counties are Linn County. Linn County has more staff, more people, so it's much easier for them to say, do all these things. We're dealing with some small counties that only have two or three staff. So we have to come up with a template approach that will fit all those, and to some extent we've had to personalize it, and that's what we're doing now. In fact, my staff's making a presentation today to the auditors, again, to offer them these services. We had over 70 of all the auditors and staff tour the OCIO's headquarters, where they do these kind of monitoring to, again, remind them. I talk to the supervisors in each county to tell them you need to give the funding to these guys to get their job done. We went from 70 counties who used e-poll books, 72 I think it is, and we're now at 92, and I see we'll be at 99. These are all steps we've done in the last year, year and a half, through aggressive outreach. And so I think we're making the goal, and I think that's the approach that the counties want as well. And we'll keep doing things, and there's always room for improvement.
Iowa Secretary of State Paul Pate with us this half hour live. If you'd like to join us, 1-866-780-9100. Of course, Secretary of State Pate, we have to devote some time to the new voter ID law. Earlier this month, developments there. Our state's Supreme Court said several absentee voting requirements in this new voter ID law that you backed cannot be implemented until a challenge to the law can be heard at a trial. This upheld a judge's temporary injunction halting enforcement of several sections of the 2017 law pertaining to absentee ballots. It's quite complicated here, having to do with signatures, a verification number in one case, also how it is dealt with when a voter shows up with no ID. Tell us, why are you appealing the court decision now?
Well, first, over 34 states have voter ID, and when we worked on our version of it, we spent a lot of time looking at the other states. We spent a lot of time interacting with the community on this, and clearly when you look at the consensus of Iowans, they overwhelmingly want this type of ID. We focus on participation and integrity. Those are the two priorities I've set, and the voter ID is that integrity component. We take our voting seriously in Iowa. The court case that you're referring to, we had a single judge who made some pretty broad decisions, in my opinion, that I don't necessarily agree with, and we appealed that to the Supreme Court. And I was actually pleased to hear that they of the five pieces, they gave us back a significant one so that we could make sure we could move forward on our elections and avoid some of the confusion. The areas they had some concern about are legitimate, and we'll look at those to see how we can better address them. But they didn't say voter ID was not necessary. That's a whole different thing. And the main key right now is we don't want to confuse the voters as they're going into November's election. There are a lot of groups out there who keep doing the misfacts of comparing us to other states or saying this or saying that, and that causes the disenfranchisement. And we're trying our best to keep focused on what voter ID means to them this year. It's a soft rollout. It means you get to come into the polling place. We ask for an ID. We're very generous because we use the driver's license, which is 92% of Iowans. We also have the non-driver's license IDs the DOT has. We sent a free voter ID card to all the others, and anyone who's lost it or needs a new one, they just have to ask their county auditor, and we'll have that as well. We also recognize military IDs and passports, and just yesterday we announced that we're recognizing Native American tribal IDs. We're working with the college students or the college campuses to make their IDs conform to this as well. So I'm confident in the end we'll have that piece in place. The bottom line is the ID component is like the key to your house. I'm sure everybody in the morning when they leave their home, they lock their door. It doesn't mean someone's broke into your home, but you're protecting what you find is valuable. And that's what the ID component does. It is protecting something that's important. It allows us to administer the elections with the minimum of intrusion to the voter, because it puts actually the responsibility on the administrator of the elections, because the card is that magnetic strip. We get to use that to make sure you are in the right voting place, that you haven't already voted absentee. It takes care of all those technical things that in the past we had to use paper lists, and that increased human error component. So that's a long explanation, but it's a complicated process. But at the end of the day, no one gets turned away. We make sure everybody is empowered to be a voter.
Mm-hmm. Susie on Twitter tweets, your campaign, speaking of you, Secretary Pate, your campaign for people to hashtag be a voter is directly opposed to your voter suppression legislation, the term she uses. Parts of that legislation have been blocked by the courts. How do you square that circle in your own mind? You talked about the courts here, but at the same time, you want as much turnout as possible. We had some record turnout during this mm-hmm. state's primary, but right. still a small percentage of Iowans do turn out to vote. You want to encourage that. A number of people are seeing, including Susie, that some of these facets here discourage voters from coming out, shrinking the window of when you can have an absentee mm-hmm. ballot from 40 down to 29 days.
Well, she's entitled to her opinion, not her facts. Those are misfacts. That's not accurate. When you look at the hard numbers, we've had voter ID now since January. We had over 40 special elections. We had a primary. We saw one of the highest turnouts in primaries ever under this process. So it hasn't inhibited that at all. In fact, what we're doing, and most people do already, before we implemented this law, we had over 70 counties who had e-poll books. People, when they came in, voluntarily gave their driver's license or put their driver's license on the scanner to be scanned. They were doing it already. We just formalized the process to make sure it was fair and everybody was doing it by the guidelines. When it comes to participation, Iowa's the top. We're in the top six in the country. We take it, again, very seriously, and voter ID is by far not a disenfranchisement. It is part of the process that tells the voters, yes, my vote counts. I don't want a single person who shouldn't be voting. I also want to make sure that when we talk to the media about any kind of problem, we have safeguards, and voter ID is one of those pieces. Again, overwhelmingly, Iowans said they wanted it, and to this point, we've not seen any of this disenfranchisement that some want to speak about. I would just submit to you, our priorities are the same. We want participation, but we also think integrity is important, and they're not mutually exclusive.
Mm. You're up for re-election, Secretary of State Pate. Earlier this month, I spoke with Deidre DeGere, the Democratic candidate for Iowa Secretary of State. I wanted to share concern on the voter ID, which she shared on this program several days ago in early August. She expressed concern on this same point that Iowa's new voter ID law was unnecessarily complicating the voter process. Let's hear a bit of what she had to say.
It's confusing. And if the listeners are having a difficult time following, think about the uninformed voter who wants to participate for the first time and how that's going to impact their ability to vote. I think for me, the biggest thing around the changes that Paul Pate initiated is that we're convoluting the voter process, and for no reason. There is no reason that we can get from his office that makes sense as to why we're convoluting the voter process.
Secretary Pate?
Well, to me that sounds a little more political than actually factual, because the reality is the way we approached it was we wanted a soft rollout. We wanted to give Iowans an opportunity to get comfortable with this process. We're one of the few, if not only, states who ever did that. The complications that maybe she's referring to are probably from people who opposed it, like herself. And when they speak out with misfacts, it confuses voters. And this lawsuit that we talked about, the entity waited until just before the elections to bring it forward when the bill had been passed for over a year and a half. They could have easily brought it forward so we could have had that discussion to avoid confusing the voters. I think take the politics out of it. The process itself is not confusing. Iowans get it. They understand it. I think if we walked out on the and did a man on the street survey, you'd find out that they want the voter ID and they understand it's bring your driver's license or one of the IDs. Now, as time goes on, we're going to make it easier so you have more acceptable ID forms. That will make it more, even more easier for the voter.
5 more minutes approximately with Iowa Secretary of State Paul Pate. Let's go to our phones. Larry, thanks for waiting. Calling from agency. Larry, welcome to the program. Not much time, but welcome to our program.
Yes, sir. I just want to applaud Mr. Pate's efforts for this voter ID thing. I think it's absolutely ludicrous that somebody would want to vote in this country and they wouldn't want to show an ID. When somebody walks in and says, I want to vote, but I don't want you to know who I am, then they're hiding something. And it's not because they're ignorant or stupid. You can't buy a package of cigarettes or a six-pack of beer in this state without showing ID. So I want to applaud him for that. His efforts reminding me that if you build a house, would you put a front door on your house? Or would you leave your brand-new house sitting there with no front door on it? Well, the voter ID to me is just like a front door on a house.
Okay.
You don't come in the house unless you show your ID.
Larry in agency, thank you very much. Your reaction I'm reading a CNN report, mm-hmm. Secretary Pate. Let me just read a little bit from it to your reaction. Back to the cybersecurity legislation. A Senate committee abruptly postponing a vote yesterday on a bill to protect elections against cyber threats after it became clear it would not have enough Republican votes to be approved in advance to the floor. Rules Chairman Roy Blunt, the Republican senator from Missouri, explaining to the committee, the committee action was scuttled after secretaries of state from around the country raised concerns with aspects of the bill. Have you had your input here to Congress? Can you outline what those concerns are about this Senate bill?
Well, I think the Senate may have had good intentions, but they didn't spend the time getting the interaction and their feedback from the people who have to run the elections. Elections are clearly laid out. They are run by the states, not the federal government. That's very, very clear. And when they started writing this legislation, it was kind of going into areas that concern us about whether we were going to start centralizing elections and where the authority was going and more mandates without any funding. So I think the devil's in the details. We welcome those discussions as secretaries. And, yes, I've had my input on that, and I would welcome the opportunity to continue that dialogue. But I think there was too big of a rush because everybody was trying to do something before this November's election. And I think what we have to do is keep in mind elections are going to be here for a long time. So what we do today does impact not just this election but elections down the road. So we'll be continuing our dialogue with those congressmen and senators. It just the format they were bringing out had been just pushed a little too fast and needed more study.
Okay, well, I think we can squeeze in one more question from a caller before our hour ends. Mary in Marion, welcome to the program. Not much time.
Hi, just really quickly. This past, during the primary, when we went to vote during the primaries, when I presented my ID, I got asked with all of these questions about my address and my date of birth and all these other things. What is, like, if you have my ID in front of you, why do you have to do that? Like, if there's just on the piece of paper, like the mm-hmm. old printed rolls, why do you have to do that?
Mary, you're absolutely right. You don't have to do that. Unfortunately, what has happened is that is not a state law. That is just a process some of these counties are doing. We have reached out to them and told them that that's not necessary. The only question they really should ask is everything on this card correct?
Mm.
Because sometimes you moved. It's not on the card. What happened is whatever vendor they may be using for their machines, their e-poll book systems, that used to be the process they used. And we've tried to convey to them, and we'll do so again, that they don't need to ask those questions. You're absolutely right.
A personal experience with this, too. I had someone approach me at an IPR event, Secretary Pate, to the point that Mary made, and being asked at a poll, you know, personal questions, but then the poll worker in a loud voice repeating this personal information. The person, I think rightly so, was incensed by having this sort of broadcast to the room.
Again, the sensitivity is very important. We do a lot of training with poll workers. We put out a standard video and other scripts, if you will, and we ask the auditors to use those. And frankly, they've been pretty good now about picking this up and using it, because with the new things that are coming out in election laws, they need to do that. They need to be reminded. It's not just that piece. You know, we work with Americans with disabilities as well, and there's a certain approach there, again, to be sensitive to their needs and how you work with them. Mm-hmm. So we have to be cognizant of that, and that's part of the ongoing training with poll workers. We're fortunate we have thousands of good Iowans who step up and do that for us. That's really our customer service line, and we'll have to keep improving on it.
Mm-hmm. Quick answer to Harley's question in Mason City. Why 29 days of early voting? Why not 40? We don't have just a few seconds.
That wasn't in my original legislation. It was offered by the legislature themselves. The logic I think they pointed out would be relative to look at what happened in this last gubernatorial primary. We had a Democrat candidate running for governor. He pulled out in the later in the process. Over 9,000 folks basically got disenfranchised because their vote didn't get counted. So much happens closer to the election, and 40 days out, most campaigns have not even kicked in.
Iowa's Secretary of State Paul Pate, thanks for coming into our Des Moines studio and this conversation, Secretary.
Very good.
River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Caitlin Harrop, and Lindsay Moon. Shirley Wong helped us out as well today. Catherine Perkins is our executive producer. Thanks for all the great questions for both halves of today. Sorry we didn't get to all of them. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. Hope you'll tune in for our News Buzz edition tomorrow. I'm Ben Kiefer. Until tomorrow for News Buzz.